Turn now to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, page 1265 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading verses 15 through 18. The 18th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Colossians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, page 1265. We'll read these verses responsively. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Memphis and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege of membership here in the First Baptist Church. We're thankful to be a part of this great opportunity to meet here, to hear the word preached, to serve here. We thank you for this opportunity which is nigh upon us, May 3rd. We pray that you put our hearts and minds to work and help us to accomplish great things for thee. Thank you for those who visit with us. We pray that you'd knit all our hearts together. May we together desire and hunger for thy word as our preacher as he preaches in Jesus' name. Amen.
I realize that I'm starting my message 15 minutes later than usual on Sunday night because of the Lord's Supper. I promise you that I will be finished no later than 8:30. I may even give you a few of those minutes back. I'm going to bring a simple kind of a sermon tonight. Not at all a Sunday night type sermon. In fact, it's not even a Sunday morning type sermon. I'm reading without your turning to it again. The last verse and the last statement the Apostle Paul made to the last of the prison epistles that he wrote, in the last of the prison epistles that he wrote to the churches. He wrote a prison epistle to the church of Colossae, and the last church prison epistle he wrote, and the last words he said, the salutation of me, by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. I call your attention that little statement that is so human. The Apostle Paul said, remember my bonds. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help me to be used of God in a very simple and, yes, even a quiet way to alert our people to a need that all of us have. Please help me in these brief moments. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk tonight. Look right this way now. I want to talk tonight. A word from each of us to all of us. The word that I'm going to say tonight to all of us could be said by any one of us. So from each of us to all of us, I speak on behalf tonight of everybody in this room to the rest. Here's an interesting statement. The Apostle Paul says simply, remember my bonds. This is no complaint. This is no pity party. He was in jail, but he had accepted his lot in life, just like you must accept your lot in life. In fact, he accepted it more than so. He said he was content. From this very prison cell where I have visited, and some of you have visited, called the Mamertine Prison in the city of Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He was content in prison. He accepted the fact that it was God's will at that time that he be in prison. He even said in another epistle written from this very prison, He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again he said, and again I say, rejoice. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as you know, was known to sing praises to God at midnight in a similar situation in the Philippian jail. Now Paul is simply saying this. It will help me occasionally, if you'll just remember my bonds. I'm not asking you, says Paul, to feel sorry for me, for I don't feel sorry for myself. But he said, if you just ever once in a while would remember my bonds, remember where I am, remember the right arm of mine that's bound to the left arm of the soldier, for 4 hours to a soldier and then a chained soldier is always bound, my right arm to the left arm of a soldier. Paul said, I'm not asking for pity. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I don't want it because I am happy. I rejoice, and again I say rejoice, but he simply says, I wish you just every once in a while remember my bonds. Remember my fetters. Remember my chains. Remember I see no sunlight. Remember I'm hundreds of miles from home. Don't feel sorry for me. Just remember that I'm here. I've been to this prison. I've seen it. It's you go down underground, a little round room there with no windows, underground, and then you go down some steps to the inner prison where Paul was. That's down underneath the prison, top floor, which is also underground, and down in that little dungeon, damp and seepy, the Apostle Paul writes and says, I'm rejoicing here. I'm content here. I've learned to be content wherever I am because my joy doesn't come from the outside. My joy comes from the inside. But he said, that don't feel sorry for me. But he said, I'd like to think every once in a while, you remember my bonds. We all have our chains. We all have our bonds. All of us is a prisoner or prisoners to some extent. The businessman's office is his cell. The factory is often a prison to many laborers. To many, the nursing home is a penitentiary. To thousands, the hospital is an asylum. The busy mother is held captive by her children. The teacher is captive in the classroom often. To the carpenter, sometimes the hammer is a handcuff. And to the mason, the scalpel is a fetter. The pastor's study is sometimes solitary confinement. The nurse is enslaved to her patients, and the professional man is a prisoner to his engagements. All of us have our bonds. All of us have our incarcerations. But the honest, simple truth is, not many of us mind our imprisonment. Not many of us mind our bonds or our fetters or our cell to which we're confined. Few of us complain about it. And most of us accept it. But there's not a person in this room tonight who wouldn't like for somebody sometime to remember your bonds. Let me quietly illustrate what I mean. No one my age has ever carried the load that I carry. I cannot call some preacher somewhere and say, where do I go from here? I cannot pick up a book and read the life of some man who's carried the load that I carry. There's never been a man in the history of the church that's carried the load that I carry, and certainly not at the age of 71. I'm plowing new ground. I'm exploring new territory. I'm making new roads. No one, by the way, no one has ever done what I did at pastor school. 5 times a day and plus conducting the great pastor school. I was it. As my wife and I say at home, we like to mispronounce our words Southern style. She said, you're the star of the show. I'm the star of the show. And nobody's ever done that before. Now don't misunderstand me. I love my work. I rejoice in it. I accept its negatives. I complain not. I'm content. I seek no pity and no praise. But I would like every once in a while for everybody here to remember that I'm 71. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I don't ask you to feel sorry for me. I don't ask you to pity me. He said, just remember where I am. I'd like for everybody here, just every once in a while, you know, every minute or two, I'd like for you to remember my load. Remember my counseling load. My preaching load. Don't pity me. Don't feel sorry for me. But occasionally, just remember. That's what Paul is saying. I'm not asking for anybody to give me any praise. I'm not asking for a pat on the back. I just want you to not forget I am in jail. I am tied to this soldier here. I am in fetters. Likewise, no one has ever carried your load either. The load that you carry, no one has ever carried. It's unique to you. I do not think you should indulge yourself in self-pity because of the load that you carry. I do not think that you should feel sorry for yourself or seek anybody's sympathy or praise because of the load that you carry. But I do not think I think you ought to accept it, be content, and even rejoice in the load that you carry. But you would like for someone to occasionally remember the death saying, remember my bonds. Remember, I can't hear the music. Remember, I've never heard the pastor's voice. Remember, I've never heard an I love you. Remember, I've never heard the church choir. I do not think the deaf should seek pity. I don't think the deaf should feel sorry for themselves. But I do hear them say, remember my bonds. The blind say, remember my bonds. Remember, I can't see. I don't feel sorry for myself. I think of our deacon, Bob Keeler, one of the biggest nuts that's ever lived in the history of mankind. He's crazy. He's wacky. You heard the deaf and dumb? He's blind and dumb. But he's happy. Always happy. Now, Bob Keeler would say to you, don't feel sorry for me. But the truth is, he can see. He bumped into a door the other day and saw stars all over the place. Now, he would not say, feel sorry for me. Don't pity me. Don't feel sorry for my condition. But I know what he would say. He'd say, every once in a while, just remember my bonds. I can't see. The homeless would say, remember my bonds. I have no bed at night. I have no family. I have no kitchen. I have no washroom. I have no bedroom. I have no living room. I have no place to sleep except on the concrete of Royal Rocket Drive. I don't think you ought to ask for sympathy, but they're there tonight. They're there tonight. The mission men should not feel sorry for themselves. And they should not seek pity nor feel self-pity. But I think they would say tonight, remember my bonds. Remember my loneliness. Remember I have no family waiting for me at home. Except a bunch of other dumb-looking guys just like me. Remember my bonds. Remember. The sick would say, remember my illness. And the widow would say, remember my loss. And the steel worker would say, remember my blast furnace. And the bus kid would say, remember my ghetto. And the one-parent child would say, remember my hurt. And the harried mother would say, remember my work. But I'm trying to say, all of us should take time on occasion to remember the plight of the rest of us. Just occasionally remember, Dr. Evans is still sick. He seeks no pity. In fact, he is so happy and full of praise, it's hard to know he's sick unless you know him real well. And he would not say tonight, if he stood here, he would not say, feel sorry for me or pity me. But every once in a while, I got a sneaking suspicion he'd like for you to remember his bonds. Remember, as you remember, Mrs. Evans has cancer. Dr. Evans has a wife that has cancer. Remember my bonds. Remember the nights Brother Colston is at the hospital through the night. He would seek no sympathy. You say, when does he get his sleep? Well, I'm preaching. You know when he gets his sleep. In fact, he doesn't know what I'm talking about right now.
But remember, he would not seek your sympathy. He would not even ask for your praise. But every once in a while, when it's the middle of the night, while the rest of us are sound asleep, and Brother Hospital, Brother Colston is sitting by the bed of a dying person whom he loves, just ever once in a while, remember.
Just occasionally remember how hard Brother Boardway worked and how hard the choir worked for pastor school.
Remember, every once in a while, Brother Boyd still has just one eye. Now don't look at him and stare at him. He can't stare back like you can. But don't look at him and stare at him, and don't say, God, don't walk up and pat him on the back all the time and say, oh, don't do it. But every once in a while, he just would have you. Don't forget.
Remember Mrs. Colston's tireless work. Anybody here beside me think about her at the Genesis Center? Anybody beside me realize that she played that organ for 3 solid hours?
I know how tired I was. I was just standing up there for 3 hours. And I was so glad to see a line end in my life as I was. I wanted to kill that kid that went through 10 times. There are only 20 people in that line. Brother Boardway, you and I were up there. We'd act like we were looking back there, you know, concern about the people. We're looking back to see if that line was ending, weren't we? You're right there beside me. And I think I heard him groan a few times. I know I did. But I want to say this. Anybody here, are you so busy thinking about yourself? Did anybody here beside me stop to think for 3 solid hours that woman sat at that organ and played that organ? Now, she doesn't want any praise. So she ain't going to get none. She wants no pity, but I have an idea that right now she's glad that somebody remembered. Just occasionally, remember Randy Rogers still is in his wheelchair. Remember that Diane Hammer still has cancer. Remember every once in a while that Abba Mae Smith is still sick. Remember that Brother Larry Smith is not well. Now, again, not a one of all these people are too good. They're good Christians, and nobody's saying, hey, don't forget me. Nobody thinks about me. But even the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said, remember my bonds. Remember the fact that I'm in prison. Just occasionally, remember those PA men up there. Men who never get any attention unless they forget to turn the microphone on. I'm a little concerned about them because they don't keep these microphones in good condition. Most of them are bent. This morning I saw those microphones lined up with that ensemble and I said, those guys are ruining our microphone. But how often do you just remember that they're up there? You like that better, don't you? I'm saying, now they don't want you to stand up and say, give them a standing ovation, and they don't want a bunch of praise or pity because up there, but every once in a while, just stop and remember that they're there.
Just occasionally, remember the ushers. Every once in a while, remember Dick Barr and these ushers that steal the money out of the plate.
Remember, occasionally, the custodians.
You ever stop and think when there's a wedding here on Saturday and somebody throws a bunch of gook all over the place? You ever stop and think somebody's got to come in and clean this place up?
You ever dawn on you that, and by the way, when you got 150,000 bus kids here every week, it's not easy to keep this place clean. Oh, only time you ever think about them is in case it's a little bit messy somewhere. I'm trying to say, I'm here tonight speaking on behalf of all of us, saying that the greatest Christian who ever lived said, I seek no praise, I'm contented here in prison. I'm happy here. I'm rejoicing here. I'm praising God here. But, in closing, he said, remember, I'm in jail. Just occasionally, remember Joe Murkowski. He's still sick. Just occasionally, remember the college wives. Enslaved to a little college apartment. Chained to a bunch of little kids. With their husband going to college by day and work by night. Now these great Christians we call the college wives who live in seclusion much of the 4 years while they're in college, they would not want me tonight to have them stand and give them a standing ovation, but there's not a one of them but what wouldn't like occasionally for somebody to know their plight and remember their plight. Remember the school teachers. These underpaid, overworked people we call school teachers. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones you fuss at when they mistreat your child. You know what I'm talking about, the one you blow your stack at and act like a heathen because they picked on your child. Now, the honest, simple truth is they haven't picked on your child, but your child's the one they should have picked on. If the child's anywhere near like his mother. A parent came to a teacher one time and said, you know what you call my child? You call my child a kid. My child is not a kid. Whereon the teacher had enough and said, you know what a kid is? A kid is the child of someone that's always butting into somebody else's business. They call them goats. Teacher shouldn't have said that, but since you said it, I like it. How long has it been since you stopped to realize, well, you say, I'll tell you what, they mistreated my child. You can't even handle two at home. They got to handle 35 in their classroom. How long has it been since you remembered their bonds? Paul said, don't praise me. Don't feel sorry for me. Just every once in a while, remember I'm in jail. Just occasionally. Remember that every day of the week, Dr. Geargo stands between life and death for somebody. Every day. Occasionally, remember how good John Off is to our people. Just every once in a while. John wouldn't want a standing ovation tonight. He would like for you to pay your bill, but he wouldn't want a standing ovation tonight at all. And nobody here knows like I know what John does for people. Now, every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt you just to stop and remember. Remember the bus workers. Every once in a while, remember the Cervantes family. Two little twice. Now, I don't mean miscarriages now. I mean little children that were born and lived a while. And both of them buried in Beterland tonight. Every once in a while, remember Julie Richter, who lost 3 children. Every once in a while, remember the Lorentz. Every once in a while, remember these men on the platform. Remember this man over here that is filling the shoes as vice president of college and still getting acquainted with the job. Remember this man right here that puts up with your young people. You bring your kid to me and say, I can't handle my kid. He's got to handle several hundred kids like yours. Remember this man right here who operates all the buses, and this man right here who cleans the grounds, and this man right here who sits beside the sick and the suffering and the dying, and this man right here who's the head of our deacon board and the man who leads this choir, and this man right here who operates the rescue mission. Forget this guy here. And now I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who it is, there's not a one of us who wants praise. We don't want anybody to tell us that we're great. We want no self-pity. If ever once in a while, just remember our bonds. Remember the aches and pains of the best years club. I know. I've been qualified for 11 and a half years to belong to the best years club. If I weren't married to a woman 39 years old, I'd be in the Best Years Club. I try to go way back in my memory, remembering. I believe honestly, if I have one thing that I'd like you to copy, I'd like for you to remember the people that made you what you are. I was in Texas about 10 years ago. I drove down South Marcellus Street. Oh, I guess to about the 1500 block. I drove up to a little brick house on a corner and went up and rang the doorbell. An older man came to the door. He was my coach when I was in school. He came to the door and he said, "Yes, may I help you, please?" And I said, "Mr. Tamke, do you know who I am?" He said, "I'm sorry, I don't know." I said, "My name is Jack Hiles." He said, "Are you the Jack Hiles that pitched on our team?" And I said, "I'm the Jack Hiles. I just stopped by to tell you that I haven't forgotten you." And he said these words, "Jack, I can't believe that you would remember me." Somewhere tonight there's an old coach that needs to know if you haven't forgotten. Somewhere there's an old pastor that needs to know if you haven't forgotten. Somewhere there's a grandmother that would like to know that you still remember your grandmother. Somewhere there's a Sunday school teacher that taught you and cared for you. Boy, it's been a joy for me to bring Mr. Bethel back here. My first Sunday school teacher, the fellow who gave me my first Christmas present, and stand him up here and thank him and let you see him. He's in heaven now, went to heaven since he was here. In fact, everybody comes to pastor school dies the next year. How long has it been? Have you ever even picked up a pen to write some old school teacher? How long has it been since you wrote your pastor back home and said thank you? Do you have some grandmother somewhere today spending her last years in life? And you, she's not asking for you to honor her. She's not asking you to send her some kind of a plaque. But if she just thought every once in a while you remembered, it'd be a blessing like it was the Apostle Paul. I try to go way back. Alvin Rice, Jerry Rice. I remember your boy. I remember that little boy that you lost years and years ago. I remember little Danny Penley. Miss Hiles and I went to St. Margaret's Hospital to visit him when he was ill. We got on the elevator and there was Madeline Penley, his mother. John, of course, is in heaven with Danny now. Danny was only a little boy about 4 years old, and Danny was bad sick, and Madeline said, "It looks like it's fatal, terminal." One night in the wee hours of the morning, little Danny Penley looked up and said, "Daddy, I'm going to heaven." And John picked him up in his arms and said, "Danny, is anything you want?" Little Danny said, "I'd like to see my preacher before I go to heaven." I crawled out of bed and drove across Chicago and into the hospital. I remember that little boy. I remember John. I remember the Huckins baby. I remember the Mrs. Walker's loss of her husband, Wells, and Mrs. Snyder's loss of Art, and Mrs. Gifford's loss of Bill, and Verley Fields, and Harley Dunsworth, and Mr. Riggs, and Mr. Koppel, and Mr. Tudor. I remember the death of Sharon Stromberg. I remember it often. I remember Mrs. Owen Miller. She's in a senior citizen's home. Her former pastor, her husband was my predecessor here. How long has it been since you folks that were members of the church when they were here, how long has it been since you dropped her a note? Oh, when they left, you cried. When they left, you thought the world had ended. How long has it been? Paul said, "I'm happy. I'm contented. I'm rejoicing. I'm singing praises to God. But the last thing I want to say in the last verse to the last church I wrote to, remember, I'm in chains.
I'm in prison. Remember my bonds. I go to the cemetery. Go to Pastoral Garden. Regularly. Just the other day I was there. I went from grave to grave. And remembered, hey, that's exactly what the Lord's Supper is all about. We took it a while ago. Jesus is saying, I don't ask you every minute of every day to remember Calvary. I don't ask you necessarily to remember it even once a week, but he said, every once in a while, just remember I died for you. Remember, I came, left heaven, and came to earth for you. Remember, I left the palaces and glories of a celestial city to come to born in a manger. Remember, I lived 33 homesick years away from my father. Remember, I was rejected by my synagogue, misunderstood by my family, hated by my people, crucified by those whom I love. Don't forget, I was tried wrongly for you. Don't forget, I was beat with the cat of nine tails for you. Don't forget, I was crucified for you. Don't forget, I wore the crown of thorns for you. Don't forget, I was hated for you. Don't forget, I was despised and rejected of men for you. Don't forget, I was acquainted with grief for you. Don't forget, I was laid in the grave for you. Don't forget, he said, remember my bonds. And so tonight, I speak on behalf of all of us. Let's not forget the rest of us. I don't ask you to write me a note. I don't ask you to praise me. Certainly not feel sorry for me. But once ever, between now and September 25th, remember, I'm 71. It hurts more to preach like this than it used to. I don't ask for, and I'm asking not for myself, I'm asking for all of us. Ladies, remember your husband's bonds as he goes to work in the morning. College wise, remember your college student's bonds as he works by night and goes to school by day. College men, remember your wife's bonds as she stays at home wishing she had a husband. When you come home, she wishes she had another one. It's just a little while. To the Apostle Paul. He's going to feel the sharp guillotine sever his head. The soldiers are trampling to his cell. He picks up his pen. He writes letters to the church at Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae. And Paul says, don't feel sorry for me. I'm happy. I'm contented. To live as Christ, to die as gain. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. And there's waiting for me a crown of righteousness. But every once in a while, remember, I'm in jail. Remember my bonds. There ought to be 10,000 letters written tomorrow morning. There ought to be hundreds of phone calls made in the next 24 hours. And you'd be surprised the joy and thrill you bring to somebody. Don't, and I'm going to close now, but don't you think for a single moment that this man didn't enjoy the fact tonight that we remembered the nights he crawls out of bed, the wee hours, goes to a hospital. Don't you think for a single moment tonight that little lady didn't delight that somebody knew how tired she got Wednesday night of pastor's school. The Apostle Paul said, don't feel sorry for me. Don't pity me. I don't pity myself. But he said every once in a while, remember my bonds. Our Heavenly Father.